Prayer gathering today, and again, we just want to say thank you to all you prayer warriors that come out faithfully every week. Man, it's just amazing, and I don't think maybe sometimes we don't have the full appreciation or understanding, not that we're anything better than anybody else at all, but the number of churches that do not pray is the majority. It's sad to say, but we're a praying church, and because we're a praying church, God is showing up, and He's doing things. And then today we were talking, and am I a little bit loud, Lynn, or is it just my hearing aids? Huh? I'm soft. You know what? Let's do this. Let's take those buggers out. Amen. Oh, that is much better. Amen. That's much better. Okay, so you can hear me okay? Yeah, just don't let me forget those, brother. Huh? Oh, okay. Man, I was really loud. But now it's good. I can't hear myself, so that's good. No. So we were talking today, Miss Shirley had mentioned... she presented a great question. You know, how many have noticed we've had quite a few visitors in the last few weeks, people coming, and, you know, so the question was, do we know if any of those people are coming from Saturate, from what we're doing? And truth of the matter is, we don't know. You know, we haven't asked. But here's a principle I want you to get, and this isn't even my message tonight. Because we're obeying the Spirit of God and doing what Jesus commanded us to do, His last will and testament before He left planet Earth was to go. He told His disciples, told the church, go into all. Go. There's always a go in the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Because we're being obedient in that, it doesn't really matter if people are coming from Saturate or anywhere else. God is sending, God is stirring hearts. Amen. All we're doing is being obedient. Right. And when we're obedient, we're going to see the fruit of that obedience. Amen? Amen. And so we're just going to continue to be faithful in what God's called us to do. And just so you know, our next outreach is going to be Wednesday night, July 17th. So that's in a few weeks. And John, I was talking to a pastor today. We're probably going to be helping with the 48186 zip code. So I got to connect with that leader over there at that church. We're going to help them probably on the 17th and the 27th of this month, I think it is, the last Saturday of July. And here's another added bonus. Turn to your neighbor, say added bonus. Yeah. And it's something, you know, both, I know Pastor Tommy and Lynn, myself and Jill, the leaders of the church, we are a blessed church. Amen. When I just shared with this pastor, we've got over 40 people that are coming out, and well over 40 people that came and helped pack all the packets. They're like, what? He said, we know churches of 300, 400, 500 people that can't get 20 people to come out. Amen. So God is doing something very special here, and I'll say it all goes back to prayer. Yeah. It all points back to we're being obedient as a church. And so I just want to encourage you in that God is showing up and showing off in and throughout our lives. You know, so it's okay to give yourself an attaboy. Amen. Or an attagirl. Amen. Amen. Well, how many brought your Bibles with you tonight? John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We're going to be talking about rivers of living water tonight. And if there was ever a time that we need to be in the river, it is now. It's now. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's now time. Turn to your other neighbor, tell him it's river time. Amen. It's river time. So John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is begging. He's not begging. He's, what's the word I'm looking for? He's entreating us. What? Compelling us. Yes. He's entreating us to come and drink of him. Come and drink. He says, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus is saying, boys, I got something special coming for you. You know you've been enjoying your time with me. Guess what? I'm going to, he tells them, lo, I will be with you always. Amen. How? By the Holy Spirit. Yes. By the Spirit of God. And so, talking about rivers of living water, I put in your notes, when you're totally filled up with Jesus, the living word, and you have this intimate relationship with him, rivers of living water will flow out of your life. Okay? It's the fullness of the Spirit, Spirit-filled life, that's going to be coming out of you, all right? And so the question in your notes is, how can we go from a dry and thirsty land of doing our own thing to getting into the rivers of living water? Well, right there in your notes there, Isaiah 43. In fact, if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn there. Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43, excuse me, 44, all right? In verse 3, Isaiah writes this, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Is there anybody thirsty in the house tonight? 1, 2, 3. All right, 4, there we go. He said, I'll pour water. I'm thirsty. Now, this is ice cold. How many just love ice cold water? And it's so good. Look at you. It's so good.
How good is it?
It's so good. It's, yeah. It's so good. But this is what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit is so good. Amen. See, when you realize, and I'm so glad, I never forget, I practice this, I never forget where God rescued me from. I go back to the moment I said yes to Jesus and the moment before I was living for the devil. Amen. And I look back and I go, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I'm so glad that you saved me. You rescued me. I want to get in the river. How many have ever been on those inner tubes? The inner tubes, right? Even at some of the metro parks, they got those lazy rivers, right? How many have ever been? We go to this place. In fact, we're going back this summer, later in the summer, to Ludington. And at the Ludington State Park, they got the big river. I think it's the Manistee River. I'm not sure which river it is, but it's flowing out into Lake Michigan. And everybody gets on their inner tubes, man, and their rafts and stuff. And you get on that river, and the river is so refreshing. It's just so, and you just lay on that thing, man, and you relax and you flop around. You just have a great, that's what I'm talking about, getting in the river with Jesus. You can relax in Jesus. You can relax and enjoy his presence. And so Isaiah said, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. On your children. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad my kids are saved. Amen. I'm so glad that my little grandkids are getting to know Jesus because mom and dad's telling them about Jesus. They're living Jesus in front of them. And so they're in the river. Turn to your neighbor, ask, are you in the river? Amen. And so living waters refer to, though, the power and the flow of the Holy Ghost, right? That's what he's referring to. Now, the disciples at this point back in John 7 had not yet experienced this because Jesus, you know, was right there in the flesh. But he said later in Luke 24, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and something powerful began to happen. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, all right? So the living water refers to the power and the flow of the Holy Spirit. And I put this in your notes. This happens by spending intimate time with God, walking with Him, and following Him, all right? Now, there's a guy back in the Old Testament, if you'll turn there with me to Genesis, the 5th chapter, by the name of Enoch. And you guys, I'm not telling you something that you already don't know, but it's good to review these things. The Bible's not doesn't say a whole lot about this guy, Enoch, but there's something very special. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 18, it said, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. Verse 19 of chapter 5 says, after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and then he died. Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch, I love this, underline that. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God, all right? And he walked 300 years and had sons and daughters. Can you imagine walking on planet Earth here 300 years, being known and being highlighted in Scripture for all of eternity to know about that you, Enoch, walked 300 years with God? I don't know about you, but I want that testimony. Amen. I want people to know that I walk with God, okay? And that's not being braggadocious. That's not being, I'm better than you or anything like that. But no, listen, how are people going to know the light of the world? Somebody's got to light up for Jesus, right? And it's about walking with God. So here, Enoch walked with God. And then in verse 24, it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So check this out. Enoch had such this incredible tight relationship with the Lord that he was in the very presence of God his next breath. Here he is walking on planet Earth, and then poof, he's, man, how many would love to have that testimony? You're with God himself. And in Hebrews 11:5, we're not going to turn there, but it says this about Enoch. He pleased God. Amen. How many here want to have that testimony about your life? You want to please God. And so we too can walk with God when we follow Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so you don't have to be in the dark when you're following Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, all you have to do is ask me. Matthew 7, we don't have time to turn there, but because I want to get to some other things here in a minute. But Jesus basically said, you can ask me. And it's got to happen daily, my friends. I put that in your notes. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, not, all right? And then he said in Matthew 5, verse 6, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Satisfied in his presence, all right? And so in your notes, we've got to ask daily. The daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. James 4, 2 says, if you don't ask, you will not receive. Sometimes I'm going along in my day, and I'm just being transparent with you, and I'm like, man, something's not feeling right. And I might be driving along in the car, even this morning. You know, I get into your devotion and stuff, but sometimes we can, how many know it can just almost be just automatic? You know, we do our devotion, and then we're off to the day, right? So I realized this morning, on my way here, I did my devotion, but I didn't ask God, fill me with your spirit, God. Cleanse me of my sin. Lord, protect. I'm driving along just thinking about the day and what I got to do today and And then it dawned on me, I didn't ask. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit who brings back to remembrance. Amen. And so James 4:2 says, if you don't ask, you're not going to receive. All right. Now, it's important that we are always moving forward in God. All right, turn in Genesis chapter 17, Genesis 17. Abram was a guy that was moving forward with God, all right? And Genesis 17, verse 1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Wow, is that a word for us today? Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Do you see there's some expectations that God has of us before these covenant promises can be ours? Okay? We have to make that decision that I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to fellowship with God. I'm going to spend time listening to God. And so he goes on to say, then Abraham, oh, I love this. He fell on his face. He humbled himself, and God talked with him. You know, Pastor, that caught my ear when you were praying tonight. You said, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. What does that mean? That means to go low before God, right. to shut this and open this, right? Amen. You know, so many times, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit. So many times we're just kind of we're blabbing on, Lord. I want, gimme, right? How many watched the movie What About Bob? You remember that? You know. Bob Wiley, I need, gimme, I want, you know. And so many times our prayers can come across that way when God, just like with Abram and just like with Enoch, humbled themselves. They went low before God. They fell on their face, and then God talked to him. I love that. God talked to him. God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to me, all right? And sometimes I got to shut this thing down right here between my ears. I got to shut it down. How many know what I'm talking about? God, talk to me, all right? And it goes on, verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I love this. You know, God gave you and I, when we came to Jesus, a new name. Hallelujah. A new name. You know, and it's son or daughter. That's what it, you're my daughter. You're my son. He's given us a new name. He's given us a new nature. No longer shall your name be Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I wrote this in my Bible today when I saw that. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. All of us in this room here tonight can have spiritual offsprings or spiritual fruit that equals souls. All of us should be gathering fruit in our lives, the fruit of souls. That's what this corporate, this saturate thing is all about. It's all about gathering the harvest, the fruit, okay, which is so sweet to God. Peter says he wishes none to perish, but that all should come to repentance, okay? And so he says, I'm going to make you exceedingly fruitful. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And so God is looking for us to produce spiritual fruit in our lives, the fruit of souls. And God blesses those who are faithful and obedient to him. Listen, this is why, I'm telling you, this is why this building, this property is getting paid off. It's going to happen supernaturally, not because we're focused on, you know, throwing money at the church to pay it off. No, we're just focused and being faithful and obedient to what God's called us to do. We don't have to worry about the results. God's going to take care of that. Yeah. Amen, brother. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. Look how that, what came in there? 10,000. Was it a 10,000 offering? And then a 5,000 and another 1,000. Look, it's just, Lord, you take care of all that. We're going to be busy about your business. We're going to be busy about your business. It's like we were talking today at prayer. I don't know about you, but we have to wade through in our mind. Our spirits set like flint to seek God and to pray, to intercede, to walk through the target and get to the end result of saving souls, of bringing healing and restoration, of being a reconciler. But we have to, in our minds, wade through all the garbage and the minutia that's happening in our world today, because it's just insane. We were talking today, and was it Shirley? Who was it? It was Val who was sharing. Wasn't it Val who was sharing that her granddaughter was at school and at a Christian university, and all of a sudden she gets a roommate. It's at a Christian university, for heaven's sake. And her roommate comes out that she's transgender. So that automatically causes a problem. But the school's okay with it. Okay, now, Christian University, they promote. Yeah, we're Christian University. See, they just don't read their Bible anymore. This is why what we're going to be talking about tonight, and Pastor talks about it quite a bit, we got to get in the Word. And so it's so important that we're faithful and obedient. Proverbs 28:20 says that a faithful man will abound with blessings. So if you are not moving forward or growing in the things of God, you're either, in your notes, standing still or going backwards. One leads to the other. How many knows? It just takes a day or two, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. I don't know what it is with you, but just to get out of the presence of God and back into the flesh. In fact, it can happen just like that. So that word saturate, for me personally, is I got to saturate myself in the Word of God to discern truth. So, we're either a river or we're a pond, my friends. That's why Jesus talks about rivers of living water in John 7:38 and a fountain of water in John 14, and not a lake or a pond. He doesn't use those terms. My son, he just moved to a farm, and they got a pond on their farm. But it's stagnant. It's green. It's got all this yuck on it. And he wants to get rid of it. So he's talking to some of his farm buddies. And they're going to put an aerator in there or a fountain to stir up that water so it's clean and it's fresh. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does for you and me. Because sometimes we can get stagnant, right? We can go back to our old way. And how many know that swamps stink? Amen. They can really stink bad. And so what happens is we can stink like a swamp when we're not allowing the aerator, the Holy Spirit, to stir things up in us, right? To stir us. I grew up on a lake, Sand Lake. In fact, I'm going to be going there this week. I take Ruthie up north. Spend a few hours in the lake, metal detecting, hunting for some rings. Hallelujah, right? But behind our lake, I'll never forget, there's a big swamp there. Behind the lake, there's a swamp. And I remember as a kid, man, that thing stunk like crazy. But just over in the lake, because it's a spring-fed lake, oh my goodness, it's cool, it's clear, it's flowing. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. It's clear, it's clean, it's flowing. So rivers and fountains are always moving forward, okay? There's power in the Holy Spirit. And so God doesn't want us to be stagnant, my friends. How many have ever been whitewater rafting before? Anybody been whitewater rafting? Yeah, it is a blast, all right? And there's portions of the rivers. We went to the Ocoee River down in Tennessee many years ago. There's portions of the river that are barely moving. It's just kind of, you know, you're just kind of going along there, you know. But all of a sudden, you get into the class two, the class three, the class four, and then the class five rapids, and it is moving mightily. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the Holy Spirit is like those class fours and class fives. He wants to move mightily in and through our lives. Someone say amen. Amen. That's what he wants to do. And so God wants to do this work. And so I want to leave with you tonight three ways that have helped me that can also help you to stay in the supernatural flow of the Holy Spirit or in living waters, all right? So, number one in your notes there, not going to be a surprise, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Amen. Desire it, all right? We were talking, Jill and I were talking, she was on the phone the other day with her cousins, and she was talking about when they were kids, and her cousins used to have Oreo cookies in water. It's like, what is that all about? That's like, to me, that's a counterfeit, right? Yeah, they would gulp in the sink, right, honey? They would sit at the sink and drink water and eat Oreo cookies. It's like, that's got to be the worst, right? That's a counterfeit. How many know there's counterfeit Holy Spirits going around today that say they're the Spirit of God, that say they're Christian? Come on now. But there's nothing like an 8-ounce, 12-ounce glass of ice cold milk and dipping those cookies in there. And then sometimes the cookies break off and they drop in the milk. And you don't want to stick your fingers in there. So you just drink it on down. And man, and then you get that chunk of cookie there. This is what the Word of God's like. Come on now. Are you hearing me tonight? Man, when you drink in this Word, oh man, it's like Oreo cookies and ice cold milk. And that's what Peter's talking. I want you to get the picture. Desire the pure milk of the Word. Why? So that you can grow thereby. How many want to grow? I want to grow. What's that, Pastor Tommy? You want some cookies? Did a good job describing that. Amen. But soon thereafter comes the meat. Okay? We got to keep moving forward. We don't want to stay stagnant. We got to keep pressing in. Proverbs chapter 4. Go there with me, please. Proverbs, this is very important. I love this scripture. Stay in the Word, number one. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. I love this. Verse 20. My son, my daughter, Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my listening, or to my saying. What does that involve when we're giving our ear? What does that involve? Anybody? Huh? No. When we're giving our ears. Yes. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Listening. We're listening. Okay. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Okay. So we got the word. It's going into our ears. Oh, we got them into our eyes. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Right? For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And so the word is it builds up, it strengthens, causes us. In fact, Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Now, all of us sin. Some of us sin up to 200 times a day. Statistics show. Yeah, in words, thoughts, and deeds. That's the truth. How many of you have ever had a thought in your mind? You know it's sin. How many of you have maybe had that thought in your mind a couple times a day? Maybe a couple dozen times a day. Okay? And so, when we hide the Word of God, this is what I love. I've been talking to some folks lately. They say, you know, I'm really struggling with this, that, or the other thing. And I don't know. And I tell them, I say, the Holy Spirit's at work in your life. If he wasn't, you wouldn't be sitting here telling me anything. Right? He's at work in your life. And so, hide the Word in our heart. All right? So, you're getting in the flow. You're getting in the word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't make deposits, you can't take withdrawals. Got to make a deposit. Now, speaking of listening, I got a book I want to recommend to you. Man, this has been a very difficult book for me to read because the title isn't too snazzy. But I got to read it. It's called The Listening Life by Adam McHugh. The Listening Life. Listen to, here's the subtitle. Embracing Attentiveness in a World of Distractions. Embracing. And Adam says this. I want to just read a short portion of it. It's about listening. All right? Listening. He says, Eugene Peterson calls the written word the dehydrated form of the spoken word, two-dimensional and drained of its interpersonal fullness. Listen to this. When we open the Bible, we must do so in faith that God has the power to resurrect dead letters. As Scott McKnight says, what we are looking for in reading the Bible is the ability to turn the two-dimensional words on paper into a three-dimensional encounter with God. Okay? It's nothing short of a miracle when in what amounts of sorting through, I love this, sorting through ancient mail, the Bible, that's what we're doing. We're sorting through the ancient mail. My world is addressed. How many know that to be true? Okay. My language is spoken, and my name, I love this, my name is called. Are we listening? That's just so, somewhere in here, he says it right here. It signaled a big shift in my approach to the Bible when I started calling it not reading, but listening. Listening. The Listening Life. Get the book by Adam McHugh. Man, I tell you what, it's like all the things, my main struggle is shutting this down here and listening to God and shutting this thing right here. Okay? That's my main struggle. And so it's just, he's unpacking some things in there that are really ministering to me. All right? So Jesus said in John 4, 23 and 24, let's go there. John 4, 23 and 24. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So number two, to stay in the flow, we must be, you can fill in the blank there, we must be worshipers of God. Worshipers of God. And Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23, he says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, it's wonderful that we come together corporately, and I so appreciate, we all do, what God, how God uses our worship team up here. Amen? What I appreciate most about our worship team is that we don't have to have all the glitter and the glam of today's worship music in many churches, which I'm not knocking them at all. Please hear what I'm saying. But it just seems like when we come here, it's just pure worship. It's just pure from a pure heart, okay? But this is corporate. What about at home? Do we take the time to be, it's a lifestyle, folks, to be a worshiper of God? Lord, I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I love you and appreciate you. I worship you today. Thank you, God. I exalt you today. See, if it's happening there, it's going to happen here. And if it's happening there and here, it's going to happen out there. People are going to see the light of Christ in our lives. Okay? In fact, God's looking for worshipers. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Psalm 22:3 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So number one, get in the word. Number two, be a worshiper of God. Number three, to stay in the flow, your tongue or your mouth must stay in the flow. Your heart and your spirit is where you get filled. But your tongue is the gateway or the doorway or the vehicle for the supernatural. Your tongue. God wants us to use our mouths. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm getting a big mouth for God. Amen. Jesus said it in John 7:38. He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In Mark 12:34, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God wants us to say something. Sometimes we can say something in our known language and then others in the unknown language. Tongues. That's what I'm talking about. We got to pray. If you want to get in the flow and stay in the flow, you got to use your tongue, my friend. You got to, listen, being filled with the Spirit and praying in tongues keeps you charged up. In fact, Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. In verse 22, Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, to say something, you got to use your mouth. Got to use your mouth. Be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Ask, pray, believe, and receive. He says to say three times, believe two times. The emphasis is on the speaking, getting our mouth, getting our tongue into action, okay, to get in the fight. Jude 20 says, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, it builds up our most holy faith. There's a whole chapter or two in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, talking about praying in the Spirit. That's so important. Now, your mind doesn't need to know what you're saying. Your tongue just engages heaven. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God is not going to move your mouth. You got to move it. I got to move it. Okay? And so there's three benefits. I didn't put it in your notes, but you might want to write it down. Three benefits are praying in tongues. Number one, it personally edifies, builds up, and charges your spirit man. How many have ever felt down in the dumps before? Okay? The Spirit of God edifies, builds up. Amen? Ronnie, it's just like Ronnie. Now, when I do this to your arm, you kind of go like a car. You see what I'm saying? All right. This is what the Spirit of God does, man. I'm praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, I'm getting myself jacked up. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, that's a physical picture of it, but in your spirit, man, he says he's building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So I build myself up. God wants you built up. Why? Because there's a fight out there. There's sometimes a fight in here. Come on now. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's many times I'm just driving because I do a lot of driving. And I don't know what to pray. And the Spirit I just start praying in tongues while I'm driving along. You should make a new song. Driving along in my automobile, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, praying in tongues as I will, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? The second thing is, I love this. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, it brings the Word of God alive with understanding. He talks about, he uses, let me see if I can find this word. I never knew, but they put a definition to this type of praying. Here it is. I don't know what kind of language this is, but it might be Latin. I have no idea. But Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. Okay? It takes the Bible's inspiration so seriously that it declares, listen to this, every word, every letter, and every squiggle has its ultimate origins in God. Those words and characters are not just stuck in the past, but because they are enlivened by the Holy Spirit, are means for God's communication with us. And he goes on to say, you're praying the Word of God. So when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it illuminates the Word of God to you so that you get stuck on one word in Scripture and God begins to deal with you on that. What's happening there? The Holy Spirit is revealing himself through Scripture and through your spirit. Amen. And so when we pray in tongues, it brings the Word of God alive to us. All right? The third benefit is that God supernaturally reveals his plan for you and how to specifically pray for others. How many have situations or people in your life you have no clue as to what to pray for? That whole couple years with our family, there I was done, naturally speaking, done praying. And all I could do at times is just pray in the Holy Spirit. And I have to believe that the Holy Spirit came and made a breakthrough for us because we are obedient in following Scripture, following the Word, and to pray in the Spirit. How many need breakthroughs? Sometimes, listen, some of you have been praying for things and it's been years. Let me encourage you. If God's put it on your heart, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, he's the one that helps you not to give up. Amen. Not to give up. Keep praying. There's breakthroughs coming. I'm telling you why people are coming to Jesus like all over the world is because people are praying. God's illuminating. He's lighting up. He's showing himself in many ways in people's lives, all because of prayer. So there's many types of prayer, prayer in English, and then praying in your known language and then praying in unknown language or praying in the Spirit is so needed today. If we're going to see power manifested, breakthroughs manifested, people to come into Christ, deliver people being delivered, man, I'm telling you what, people need to know right away about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because so many people today, they get saved and then they drop off. Or the church doesn't teach them about that. I'm so glad for this church, amen? But you know what? There's lots of churches like ours all over the world. Okay, it's not all that bad out there. Hallelujah. No, I'm telling you, there are entertained, you can go get entertained anywhere in this area. I'm telling you, you can. Okay. But if you're like me, I want transformation. I need transformation. I still need it in my family. I still have lost brothers and sisters. There's still breakthroughs in my life that I'm looking for. And I can't do it on my own. God has given us tools as we wrap up tonight. God has given us tools, my friends. And one of the tools is the river. It's the river. Staying in the flow of the Spirit through the Word of God, through worship, and through praying in the Spirit. Amen. Pastor Tommy.
And thank you, Pastor Mark. Let me enjoy that tonight. Amen. Amen. Father, we need it. Lord, we want that river of life flowing through us. And Lord, we submit ourselves to you this evening. How many are admonished to spend more time in that word? Amen. Amen. Spend more time praying in the Spirit. Anybody here? How many of us we need to practice what's been preached? Lord, we dedicate ourselves, Lord Jesus, to see you move in us and through us, to touch a world that so desperately needs you. Father, you said it's not by might or by power, but by your Spirit. So, Lord, we submit to that. Holy Spirit, remind us when we try to do it in our own natural ability, or we try to think it through on the way it should be done instead of trusting you. Father, forgive us for not speaking in the Spirit in those situations. Because, Lord, we know you have the language to unlock the supernatural, to unlock the impossible. So, Father, thank you for your word. Lord, reminding us of the way we should go to walk in it. Father, we dedicate ourselves tonight, Lord, to put to practice what we've heard, Lord, what's been preached. And, Lord, help us to instill that in others, to bring that firm foundation, to go from milk, Lord God, to strong meat, being of full age. Now, if you would, lift your hands towards heaven. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, meet every need in each home. Lord, we appreciate your word, Lord God. If we put that word within us, we walk in your ways. That word is health and strength to all our flesh. It becomes medicine for us. So, Lord, we need that medicine. Lord, eyes salve that we can see. A body that's strengthened. And, Lord Jesus, we know, Lord God, the best is yet to come. That all of us need divine strength for these last days to walk this gospel out in power and authority of Christ. Lord, bless each one tonight. And Lord, work, Lord, in every situation as a testimony of your greatness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.